All right. So today we're starting this new series called Flipped. And this series is essentially about people or individuals who interact with Jesus in their lives or their perceptions or what they think about themselves completely flips from what it was to something completely different. And that's what we're going to be doing today. In fact, today we're going to be looking at a specific character in the scriptures who interacted with Jesus, okay? But before we do that, I'm curious, and if you're in a spot where you're like really awkwardly like flipping your neck like a giraffe at me, you can totally kind of turn your chairs a little bit. You can totally do that if you want. But I'm really curious, is there anyone in here who has like a really cool talent that you would be willing to show the group? Tyler, you have a cool talent? Go ahead and stand up. Come on up here next to me. Come on up, come up.
Taylor!
Yours is, your talent is singing?
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
Can you sing us like two lines from a song? Maybe like Singing in the Rain?
I don't know.
Okay, your choice.
Okay.
Hello.
Here, I'm going to give him my mic. Hang on.
Can you hear me?
Not too close. It'll pick you up.
Okay. Thank you. No, okay, so A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V, W, X, Y, and Z.
Now I
know my ABCs. Next time, won't you sing with me?
Yeah! Woo-hoo! Yeah! Tyler, guys, I'm going to be completely serious with you. Out of this whole room, Tyler has like the most courage of anyone, okay? Seriously, that kid, I've known him since sixth grade, and he's got so much courage, so he's awesome. Good job, Tyler. Good job, Tyler. Do you have a talent you want to show? Yeah, come on up. Come on.
I'm a good drummer.
Oh.
Really? Oh. You hadn't noticed.
Very nice. That's true. We see that talent, yes. Okay, any other good talents that you guys would be willing to show the room? Anyone? Anyone? Is anyone, Zachary, do you have something? No. Is anyone like double jointed? Does anyone have any double jointedness? Oh, come on up and show us some double jointedness.
Yeah, come on up.
I mean, there's like a lack of talent here for rooting Cardinals, but well.
Right here. Okay, so I can dislocate it and then.
Ah! Guys, his finger just went like halfway into his shoulder. Really gross. Gross. One more. There's one more talent in the room. Yeah, come on up, Sydney. What do you got? Oh, okay. Okay, let's see it. I'm probably going to barf. That's like extreme hitchhiker thumb. Really gross. Very gross. Awesome. So how many of you guys watch the show or have watched the show kind of like America's Got Talent, or The Voice, or maybe like American Idol, where some of the people get on there, and they have incredible talent, right? Like some of the people get on there, and they're really talented, and they do really cool things, and then sometimes other people get on there, and they're just not very talented, but they think they are, and they get on there, and they try to do stuff, and then there's always a panel of judges, right? Have you noticed that there's always like some sort of panel of judges? And sometimes those panels of judges just like rip into them. Like, they just are mean, right? You know what I'm talking about? Who's, like, the meanest judge that you guys have ever, like, seen on a TV show?
Simon,
right? Yeah, the old American Idols, where Simon is, like, so mean, just, like, brutally honest, right? And I wonder for you guys and for myself, oftentimes I feel like I'm wandering around, and I feel like although there's not, like, a panel or like three people who are sitting there like calling me out on it, I often feel like I'm getting judged a lot like that. And if it's for the good things or if it's for the bad things, I feel like someone is watching and calling me out on it, right? And I wonder if you guys feel the same way, that in the good things and in the bad things, but definitely in the bad things, that we feel like we're just being judged if it's from our friends or our family or even from God. What does it look like to feel like we're always being judged by God? Maybe it's that we don't have things together. Maybe it's our family is kind of messed up, you know, according to the world, or our friendships are kind of crazy and messed up. And so we feel like, you know, God or our friends or whatever has just got like this big buzzer. And they just like, every time we feel like we're doing something wrong, buzz! We get called out on it, right? Or maybe it's It's something like, you know, we make a mistake, right? And you guys see it in red ink on your papers and stuff like that all the time. But Buzz, you did it wrong, right? You did this question wrong. You made a mistake. Or maybe it's just that we have stuff in our lives that we've been trying to clean up for years. We've been trying to get together. Maybe it's habits that we've been trying to break, or things that we think God wouldn't approve of that we're trying to fix, and we just haven't been able to do it. And yet God is always just standing over us, just Buzz, because we're doing it wrong. And the trouble with when we live our lives in that way is that we live in fear and we live in shame. We live in fear and we live in shame if we live that way. And we hide our true selves when we're living that way. We hide our true selves from others and from God. We hide our real self. When we live in fear and shame out of being judged, we hide ourselves from everything. And we're not being real. We're not being authentic. And we miss this fact when we live in fear and shame. We miss this. The fact that God loves us so, so much. And so we're going to look at one guy today who is proven that. He was living in fear and he was living in shame. And it was proved to him that God loves him so much. And it flipped everything. And so if you guys have your Bibles at your areas, great. If you don't have Bibles yet, I'm going to have you guys grab Bibles out of our Bibles carts. If you have a phone that has a Bible app, great. We're going to turn to the book of Luke. The book of Luke, which is the third gospel. The third gospel in scriptures, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are the four gospels. A gospel is a book in the Bible that talks about the story of Jesus. It's centered and it's focused on the story of Jesus. We're about to get to the Christmas season, and so you're going to start hearing about baby Jesus a lot. Baby Jesus is in the beginning of the gospels. Where we're turning today is going to be Luke chapter 19, which is not baby Jesus. This is grown up Jesus. This is like middle aged Jesus. Starting to get a few gray hairs Jesus. Okay? Luke 19. When you get there, if you're there, can you guys like throw your Bible up really quick and throw it back down? Like speed. Awesome. Yes. Awesome. Great. Luke 19. While you guys are just up turning there, I'm going to give you a little bit of background on the person we're talking about today. The guy we are talking about today is a guy named Zacchaeus. And some of you might know from an old kindergarten rhyme is that Zacchaeus was a wee little man. Yes, how many of you guys know that Zacchaeus is a wee little man? Zacchaeus is actually in scripture, it's said that Zacchaeus is short, okay, that he's a really short guy. Okay, and I don't know how short, but he was shorter than everybody else, okay? And Zacchaeus was short, but not only was he short, not only was that something that, quote-unquote, was going against him, right? He was a tax collector, and a tax collector in this time had a really bad reputation. In fact, tax collectors, in Scripture, they label them, like, in one sentence. There's sinners, there's prostitutes, and there's tax collectors, okay? Like, they're all pretty much the same thing. Like, that's how degrading they viewed tax collectors, okay? It was a very, very bad view on these people. Because what they did is the Roman government would say, you know, hey, Bryson, you make $100. We tax you 15%. And so I come to you as a tax collector, and I take 15%. They didn't take direct deposits at this time, right? The IRS wasn't like it is today. And so I'm supposed to take $15. But tax collectors were dishonest. They would go up to Bryson and they would say, Bryson, you owe $30 in your taxes. And Bryson would say, steep price to have to pay for my taxes. And yeah, but that's what it is, man. Here you go, give it to me. And they would take the $30, they would keep 15, and they would give 15 to the state. And so tax collectors would try to make money on top of the taxes. And so they were known for being stealers, dishonest, sinners. And so they had a terrible reputation. And this guy, Zacchaeus, well, he was short, but he was also a tax collector. Okay? And so I'm going to read real quick. Check it out at 19, verse 1. Read with me. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and he climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. Now I'm going to pause real quick. We're going to continue in a minute. I like that it says, you know, it gives us some context that Zacchaeus couldn't see Jesus. He wanted to see Jesus. He was really tiny. So he went out away from the crowd, ahead of the crowd, climbed a tree so he could see Jesus. And I see in my mind as I picture this happening, and I hope you do too, there's this like big crowd. And yeah, maybe some of that is because he's short, but I think it was really easy for Zacchaeus to leave the crowd. Because the crowd, those people that were in the city, those are the people that ridicule, that make fun of, that pick on Zacchaeus day in and day out. And when we feel that we're being judged or picked on, and we live in that fear and shame, it's so easy for us to remove ourselves from the greater group of the people, right? When we feel picked on or ridiculed, we just want to separate ourselves from everyone else, and we seclude ourselves. And I see that happening with Zacchaeus here, right? Like he removes himself because maybe he's afraid of being picked on more since he's in the crowd. Or maybe even he's afraid of what Jesus is going to say because he knows that he's a sinner. He knows that he's stolen. He knows that Jesus is here to bring in a new kingdom and to call out those sinners. So maybe he's afraid of what Jesus is going to say, right? But what happens next is really, really crazy. Check this out. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and he said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and he welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and they began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." Now, a couple things happen here that are like mind-blowing, okay? You read this and you're like, okay, no big deal. Jesus walks up to a guy. He tells him that he needs to go stay at his house. A really big deal. It's a big deal in a few ways. First off, he called Zacchaeus by name. He walked up to him. He approached someone who no one else would really like to approach or be around. He walked up to someone who not normally people would go up to, and he called him by name. Zacchaeus. How did he know his name? How did he know that Zacchaeus, this tax collector, needed him to come up to him? He calls Zacchaeus by name, and then he doesn't bring up his past. He doesn't say to Zacchaeus, "Hey man, Zacchaeus, you're a terrible person. Whew, man, you're miserable. You should just like hate yourself." He doesn't say that. He invites Zacchaeus into a new future. He invites Zacchaeus into the future, into something completely new. He doesn't bring up his past. He doesn't call him out or rub his face in the dirt. He invites him into something new. Zacchaeus responds. He stood up and he said to the Lord, he said, "Look, Lord," which using the word Lord is a big deal. That's saying like, "I follow you with everything. I follow you." And so he's saying, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house, because this man, too, is a savior. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." Now, Zacchaeus, who had had a miserable past, whenever Jesus came up to him and Jesus gave him that chance, Jesus told him, "I love you. I don't hate you for your past. I love you. That doesn't mean I accept everything that you've done and you should keep doing it, but I love you." And Zacchaeus changes. Who he is completely changes. He steps down from that tree and he is a new person. He's not the sinner. He's not the liar or the deceiver that he was. Instead, he comes down and he says, "Lord, I follow you with everything. I give everything that I have, all my riches. I give it back all over. I'm so sorry." And God says to him, Jesus says to him, "Salvation has come to your house." Now you guys are going to have a chance to jump into your groups and talk through a few questions. I'm going to come back up in about 10 to 12 minutes. But I want you guys to really process the hugeness of this, okay? And the hugeness that this takes on in our own lives when we feel like we're crap and everyone judges us for it. We have a Lord and a Savior who does not do that, who accepts us and loves us and wants us to become something new. Okay, so go ahead and jump into your guys' groups, and I'll be back up in about 12 minutes. No, stay in your areas.